This is Bishop Dr. Kelvin L. Levy, pastor of Judah Temple of Praise Ministries, and I enjoy listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, my favorite talk show host.
Oh, yes. Good morning, Bishop. Let me say hello to Nashville, all of our wonderful people. We got some sunshine in the city early. That sun was up. Shining bright early this morning.
Yeah.
Glad to see it and know that, you know, we got a few days without any rain. We escaped rain for a couple days, but of course, as it does here, it's going to creep back into our forecast. But it was has been a lovely, lovely weekend. And hopefully you get to participate in it in some form or some fashion. This is, this is the last Sunday of the month, isn't it?
It sure is.
Wow.
Fourth Sunday.
It won't be long. The leaves will be changing and everything, and people will be...
complaining about the cold weather?
Well, about something. I am certain. Yeah, the August rushes in here this week, and summer will be saying bye to it. You know, the Indian summer's coming in August, and yeah, and then things change. But it, you know, all in all, I think, you know, we had some hot days, but, you know, and humid days. But this was a wet, particularly wet summer this year versus other summers that we've had when we haven't had any rain and wanted it so bad we didn't know what to do. Anyway, how you doing?
I'm well, except for my throat. I'm doing well.
Oh, you scratchy?
Yeah, it's not a cold, but I just sort of had some laryngitis or something that was trying to sip in, but I think it should clear up in a few days.
Okay, especially after you go to church.
Yeah.
And do you sing in the choir?
I don't.
Oh, okay.
Uh-uh.
Does your wife sing in the choir?
Praise team.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Amen. Anyway, you participated, I know many people did, in the, we're in the midst of the tax-free weekend. And did you go out and get some things?
Not as much. I had a family reunion in town this weekend, so I spent most of my time over at Opryland Hotel.
Okay, hanging with
weekend.
The people.
Yeah.
Well, that's
yeah.
beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. Your mother's side or your father's side?
Father's.
Oh.
So he's in town.
Really?
My great aunts.
Oh, the Reverend's here.
Yeah.
Oh, good
yeah.
morning, Reverend.
They're probably still asleep.
Oh, okay.
He might be up. I'm not sure, but yeah.
Reverend Lawson?
Yeah.
Lee? He's
yes.
up. He's up. You know, yeah. he's old school. Old
yeah.
school's up. They've up percolating.
Yeah.
Well, how's everybody?
They're doing well.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Well, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Was it large?
We had about maybe 30-something people show up.
Okay. That's
from Pittsburgh,
good.
Detroit,
uh-huh.
Alabama,
yeah.
Ohio, South Carolina. So
oh, that's beautiful.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, so you were the host?
Something like that, yeah.
Well,
it fell on me.
Well, you live here, so
yeah.
yeah, that's how that goes.
Yeah.
And you had to be the tour guide and tell everybody.
Well, we let them decide what they wanted
okay.
to do.
That was okay.
We just allowed them. We had the rooms at Opryland.
Yeah.
And we just had a a space out in the open where we had food, and that was it. But we allowed, because Opryland has so much to offer, so we allowed everybody to decide what they wanted to do.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Did they do a lot of tours and stuff?
But they took a tour.
Did they?
I didn't go.
Okay.
I said, well, nah.
You should have let it.
No.
Yeah. Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
And they probably toured the mall.
Some of them went to the mall.
Yeah.
And that was the thing, because some people wanted to go to the mall, and then Opryland has this wave pool thing. The kids wanted to go there.
And, yeah, the pool,
and,
yeah.
Then, and some of the other people wanted to tour. So everybody sort of went in
their
own.
That's wonderful.
So, yeah.
Well, that's lovely.
Yeah.
Well, I know it's always good to get together with your people, you know. And because you don't ever know when you're going to see somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we lost one of the matriarchs a few years ago. So that's, okay. Yeah. In fact, the lady who ended up sort of, dropping it to me.
Oh, yeah. Wow. You're kidding.
Yeah. Because the last one was in Louisville.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, that was last year around this
time? 2 years ago.
Oh, two. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, so in 2 years, are you passing it off to somebody else?
We did that last night.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're off duty today, huh?
That person, that they have the family banner and all that. So,
okay.
Yes.
We're moving it on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's lovely. Yeah, those things are really fun and stuff. My family had the first one. Let's see. This is in 15.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad's people. Since we were little.
Yeah.
And, folks are grown now. And it's just so different to see your cousins and, different ones,
Yeah, it is.
And how they have kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. And, it's just different, But, some people still look the same.
Yeah.
Have the same characteristics.
Yeah.
So, those are nice affairs.
So I have to turn around and go to North Carolina. Labor Day weekend, I got to turn around and go to North Carolina from one of my mother's side.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful.
And I hadn't been to that one, I think, in about 6 years or so, at least. So, yeah.
Well, that's how we keep our legacies going in our communities, And the stories and the families and stuff.
Yeah.
Keep them going like that. So we don't have to fall into revisionist history. Anyway. Well, that's lovely.
What'd you end up doing? Resting, relaxing,
well, actually,
shopping?
I didn't shop. There's no need for me to buy anything because I really don't need it. I mean, I could if I wanted to go on a shopping spree, but right now I'm just trying to, live with what I have and use what I have and be grateful for it. Because it just gets to the point where why are you buying stuff, You haven't used what you have. No, actually, I told you my sister is here.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
You see, when you're retired, you can take a 30-day break like her.
Yeah.
And we've been having our family times on the weekends and our eating and, we got to eat.
Yeah.
And it's not always going to come from my kitchen.
Okay.
So
she's cooking a little bit.
No.
No?
We eat now.
Oh, okay.
Ain't nobody cooking. You don't get it. Nobody.
Okay.
Right. Times have changed. Back in the olden days, we was talking about that with the kids. We used to get together on Saturday nights and her house when we used to live. I used to live at home. And that was three sisters, me and my two sisters. And each weekend we go over to somebody different house and someone different. And we used to make, now this is archival here, but we used to make our own videos.
Oh.
My brother-in-law had a
camcorder.
Yeah. One of the early ones. The
great
big giant.
Okay, the big,
Right. So, and when Michael Jackson, was on the scene and doing all those songs like Beat It and all that kind of stuff. So we, and the kids, everybody would pick their song. And everybody would get their little props. And because my kids, they knew, and my nephews and my niece, they knew every detail. And they remember every song and every detail. And I was Sade. I did my hair, big afro and everything.
Did you sing?
Yes, I was lip syncing.
Which song? Smooth operator?
Yeah. Yeah, because that was me, you know. But we did that, you know, to entertain ourselves and didn't have to go out, you know. We get, you know, make some cheese dip, some good cheese dip, put some broccoli in there, and maybe some mushrooms or something like that. And, you know, we would, like, we're at the movies, you know. We were very creative before there was actually videos on TV.
Yeah.
You know. We black, so we're creating our own stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just, you know, so the kids, they had to make us laugh yesterday talking about how we went to our productions. These were major productions.
Okay.
And it wasn't just standing there pantomiming or lip syncing. We had to have all the props. And the background singers were the other family members,
yeah,
you know, when they were real little, so. My sister informed every one of us that, you know, I still have the tapes.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you just don't show them in public. But those are the olden days.
Post them on Facebook.
No. Those were the days.
Throwback
when,
Thursdays.
Yeah, right now. Back, you know, in those days, you didn't have all the stuff that we have now. So we had to create our own good, clean family fun. And, you know, on a budget. And that was something that was the highlight of our kids growing up, you know. They would look forward to them Saturday nights because they know they get to eat a lot of junk food.
Yeah.
And make videos. So, and it was just all the popular songs. And Michael Jackson and Luther Vandross' songs were real popular. And, you know, everybody always would pick. Or the Temptations,
yep.
You know, we pick songs like that that had some meaning, and you could really, you know, enjoy yourself and, you know, laugh, because that's basically what we ended up doing.
Mm-hmm.
After everybody was done, then we sit down and with some popcorn and watch everybody's videos.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, that was our Saturday nights. And we always knew where our kids were.
The original Saturday Night Live.
Right, that was it. We always knew where our kids were because they were there with us. And that worked for many years until they decided to grow up. And then that ruined everything because, you know, then they trying to be with their friends.
That's right.
And be gone. So anyway, but yeah, we just enjoyed each other's company and ate a lot and laughed and stuff. And, you know, that's good to be able to do. And everybody that I know that's retired, all y'all retirees out there, y'all know you make me sick because you have all your time. And then you're like, well, how come you tired all the time? I'm like, why are you? What kind of question is that? You know, retirees, they just go on trips and, you know, they just do all these fun things that they like doing. And, you know, they're... they can sleep late if they want to. Most of them don't. And so they always wonder why you always working. I'm like, y'all forgot that fast what it's like. So you retirees, y'all wearing us out with all this stuff, okay? I know a bunch of people that's always saying, oh, I just got back and such gone. Anyway, so those are the days. Got some headlines coming up in a few minutes. And next hour, I'm very happy to have this wonderful woman on the show next hour. She's gospel and soul singer, Candy Staton. And Candy, many of you know or knew that she had cancer and that she brought that out to the public about a year or so ago. Well, Candy is now cancer-free, and she's going to share that
that's
with
awesome.
Us today. Yeah, that's very, very exciting. And she's going to share that with us in an encouraging manner and talk about the prayers of the people and all the love that she received to help her with her battle of cancer, you know, with, and of course, chemotherapy and radiation, but... You know, she's definitely going to give you something to think about and encouraging you if you are in that particular struggle or anyone who is in a health struggle. And also, that's 8 to 9 o'clock. And hopefully you'll be tuned in and listening to her. She'll be talking to her, to us from her home. Isn't she in Georgia?
No. She is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, on August the 7th, radio, television, web, texting, everybody is going to be participating in the nationwide test of the emergency activation system.
Okay.
The Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, in coordination with the FCC, will conduct a nationwide test of the EAS, Emergency Activation System, on August 7th. That's next Wednesday. And it's at 2:20 Eastern, but 1:20 Nashville. So okay. Everybody in simultaneously will.
1:20 Central.
Yeah, 1:20 here. It's just like the last test we had last year that simultaneously just to check it. Annually, they've been starting to check these systems to make sure that everyone can get an alert, regardless if you're online or you receive your in your entertainment or news or whatever, by whatever mode, so you'll have a text message on your cell phone if you have a cell or whatever the case may be. So that's next Wednesday, August the 7th at 1:20 Central, 2:20 Eastern. The emergency activation system, there's been some recent improvements over the years, and it is used as a reliable alerting tool and ensuring people that they receive alerts in the event of an actual emergency. So these tests are good just to make sure that besides our monthly tests, this is coast to coast to make sure the United States can get noticed in the event it's needed. Now, here's what's going on in Tennessee. A Tennessee death row inmate has declined to choose the method of his execution scheduled for mid-August, making no choice would result in death by lethal injection. Tennessee Department of Corrections spokeswoman Nasa Taylor said in an email Friday that Stephen West declined to pick his method of execution when given the opportunity. She says that by policy, the method would default to lethal injection. West's execution is scheduled for August 15th. The 56-year-old was convicted for the 1986 murders of a Union County mother and daughter. He received a death sentence in 1987. Four inmates have been executed in Tennessee since August 2018. Two died by the state's preferred method, lethal injection, and two chose the electric chair, arguing it would be a less painful way to die than the three-drug method.
Wow, wow.
Mm-hmm. Because you know the president wants to bring it back.
That's what I saw.
And it's never really been a deterrent to crime. I don't know.
But how does that jive with, if you're going to say you don't want abortion and you want to take away women's rights, but then you're going to turn around and execute people?
Well, you know, if you don't want abortion, but you don't mind caging kids at the border, I mean, there's a lot of oxymoronic.
Hypocrisy?
Oh, that word has gotten used so much recently that I think we need to come up with another word because there's so much hypocrisy now that
lying.
It's overused.
Yeah.
we have to use it all day, every day. Anyway, here's what I'm going to take a look at when we come back. An excessive force investigation in our state, as well as the Mrs. International pageant, is moving to Tennessee.
All right, Nashville.
Mrs. International. So there is hope for women once they get married. There's hope. It's always hope. Anyway, let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
On the next Jazz Night in America, we explore two sides of Mark Giuliano's brain with two different bands from two hemispheres of the globe. From swing to rock to electronic music, the drummer paves the way for a new kind of jazz.
Emotionally, when I'm playing with both projects, I'm playing from the same place.
That's next time on Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
When you look in your own backyard, what do you see? Do you see hiking trails that lead to breathtaking mountaintop vistas? Or a concert in a vineyard? Find a new side of your own backyard with Discover Tennessee Trails and Byways at tnvacation.com. So, are you ready for a Made in Tennessee road trip? The soundtrack of America. Made in Tennessee.
Brought to you by the Tennessee Department of Tourist Development in cooperation with the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters and this station.
The opioid epidemic is affecting countless lives, including young adults. Did you know approximately 45% of opioid prescriptions to adolescents are made by dentists, often after wisdom teeth removal? These drugs carry risks, but you can help reduce your risk or the risk for a loved one. If prescribed an opioid, ask your dentist to consider limiting prescriptions to 3 days, using over-the-counter pain relievers, and properly disposing of unused medications. For more information, go to shatterproof.org. This has been a message from Shatterproof, UnitedHealthcare, and this station.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years, Smokey's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, in Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Uh-huh. And mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. We thank you, Mr. Terry Jones. And we thank you for supporting What's the 411 for many, many years. And may the Lord bless and keep you always. Now, here's what's going on in Lebanon, Wilson County. Authorities in Tennessee are investigating the deaths of three people who died after overdosing on drugs in a home. WTVF-TV reports that police in Lebanon are offering a $2,000 reward for information that leads to the arrest and prosecution of the people who distributed the drugs that caused the overdose deaths. Police said three people were found dead in a home in Lebanon on July 18th. Community groups and churches in Wilson County are working to stop an increasing number of drug overdoses. The Pickett Rucker United Methodist Church in Lebanon is trying to raise money for funeral expenses for the three people who died. And this opioid crisis this country has is out of control. And the pharmaceutical industry is sitting square in the middle of it.
Yeah, they are.
And if that's not, that's drug trade real. And why nobody's going to jail is a mystery. Now, if it was a black man slinging cocaine, he'd have been fried. I don't get it. Well, maybe eventually our country will wake up from this brain dead thing they're going through with not finding out more about this crisis that was manufactured in this country. Now, here's what's going on in chat. A judge says charges against a black man who was strip searched during a traffic stop in the state of Tennessee has been dropped. News outlets report the order involving 41-year-old James Myron Mitchell was made official on Thursday at the Hamilton County Courthouse. Meanwhile, Hamilton County District Attorney Neil Pinkston continues to investigate potential excessive force during the traffic stop. A deputy's affidavit says he stopped a car for dark tinted windows and smelled marijuana. The affidavit says Mitchell said he smoked a joint and another deputy found a small marijuana bag. Found the evidence. That's what they said. It says Mitchell was combative, reached to his waistband, and a deputy need him with his probably one or two knees. What do you think he used, two?
So I don't believe that. Something's not right. I've never heard of anybody being violent after smoking weed.
It just doesn't make
it.
Unless
it's
laced with something.
Yeah, but right. Weed and come on.
Yeah, you just want to sit down.
Yeah, go to sleep or, you know, whatever.
Get something to eat.
Yeah.
Get some munchy stuff. Dash cam footage shows deputies searching Mitchell's partly pulled down boxers. The affidavit says Mitchell tried kicking them. A deputy hit him, and they found a crack cocaine bag in Mitchell's underwear and a used syringe nearby. This just gets worse every time.
Yeah.
You get it. But anyway, the charges have been dropped, though. So.
So we don't get to see that footage then?
Not really.
I wonder why.
Right. Not really. Anyway, out of Charleston, West Virginia, the Mrs. International Beauty Pageant won't be returning to West Virginia next year. Pageant director Mary Richardson told the Charleston Gazette Mail on Thursday that she hoped to keep the event in Charleston, but the city wasn't interested. Instead, the pageant will be held for the next 3 years in Kingsport, Tennessee, in Upper East. According to its website, the pageant features married women ages 21 to 56. Now, that's got to be an interesting beauty pageant.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And has more than 100 U.S. and international participants. It has been held in Charleston for the past 3 years. Charleston Mayor Amy Schuler Goodwin says she decided not to renew the contract after consulting with downtown businesses and the city's Convention and Visitors Bureau. Goodman says the event didn't bring enough visitors to Charleston to justify the city's annual $50,000 investment. So Kingsport said, I'll take it, because they need some whoever visitors they get and some publicity. So they'll take it. And we'll see how it turns out when it gets to Tennessee. Well, you think there'll be a surge in Tennessee women, married women, trying to participate? Since there'll be
married women participating in a beauty contest. That's something nice.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. These are married women between 21 and 56.
Yeah.
Mrs. International Beauty. So just because you get married doesn't make
you... Doesn't mean that you have to... Yeah.
You can't be a
that's
beauty.
That's right.
You better be if you want to keep your man.
Yeah.
And, you just have to keep working on it all the time. But some folks, they get better with,
better with age.
Well, better with having two incomes.
Yeah. That's true.
That can certainly help you.
Yeah.
Financially, for sure. Anyway, Washington, D.C., here we go to the national news. President Donald Trump
has denigrated a majority black district represented by a congressional nemesis as a, quote, disgusting rat and rodent infested mess, end quote, broadening a campaign against prominent critics of his administration that has exacerbated racial tensions. Well, that's all he knows how to do is exacerbate racial tensions. He's not going to be happy till we have a race war. Trump lashed out in tweets yesterday and again this morning against Representative Elijah Cummings, the powerful House Oversight Committee chairman, claiming his Baltimore area district is considered the worst run and most dangerous anywhere in the United States. Wow, that's awful. It's awful. He just picks on people and picks and picks. How are you going to teach your kids not to bully? And the bully in chief is running the country. I mean, is there a lesson there? Is it? Don't know. His comments against Cummings, who leads multiple investigations of the president's governmental dealings, drew swift condemnation from Democrats, including would-be presidential rivals. How quick you think they're going to jump on that during the debates?
I know.
You know.
My thing is people who pretend like the president isn't doing anything wrong.
Oh. Clearly are from another planet.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Especially lawmakers. Well, I don't have time to read his tweets.
Right.
I can't speak for the president. Well, that's not what he really meant.
Well, actually, they do speak for him when they don't speak at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not what he really meant. Right. I understood what he was trying to say. He may not be the most eloquent.
That don't even make any sense. Anyway, this is Glenda.
Yes, good morning.
Hey, Glenda, how you doing?
I am awake. That's about all I can say at the moment.
I know what you mean. What's on your mind today?
I'm sorry?
I said, what's on your mind today?
I am the Central Area Director for the Lynx Incorporated, and we are in Nashville, Tennessee, starting July 31st through August 4th for our Central Area Conference.
Are you?
Yes, we are.
Oh, that's beautiful. Tell us yes. A little bit more about what happens at the big conference and where's it going to be?
We are at the Gaylord Opryland, and we're looking to host over 1,000 people who are coming to the big IT city, Nashville. And we're excited to be here. This is our 45th Central Area Conference, and we are going to attempt to leave our imprint on the local community through our service.
Mm.
We're going to have a panel discussion on civic engagement in the 21st century,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be slated July 31st at mm-hmm. the Fisk University, John Hope and Aurelia E. Franklin Library.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be discussing social justice and how millennials and the evolving Gen Xers students view issues around race and diversity,
mm-hmm.
climate, the role of government, which we were just discussing,
mm-hmm.
and their responsibility to the communities in which they reside.
Mm.
But also, we are packaging and distributing feminine hygiene products to FIS students, female FIS students, and Tennessee State University
mm-hmm.
students, and two Metro Nashville schools, the Grandmont Middle School and McKissick Middle School.
Okay. Now, this Glenda Manson, right?
Yes, Glenda Manson.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if I was going to get to talk to you or not.
I wouldn't miss this for the world, even though I'm a nice baby, a nice person.
I know that's right.
Yes, ma'am. I am wide awake.
Now, aren't you alumni?
Oh, yes, my mighty Fisk University. Yes.
Right.
Some of the best 4 years of my life, and yeah. I actually finished in 4 years.
Okay. So are you the local host?
No, I am from Bloomington, Illinois, which is 2.5 hours south of Chicago. Uh-huh. People think Illinois, and they just think Chicago, but I'm dead in the dead center of the state, uh-huh, about 2.5 hours uh-huh from not only Chicago, Indianapolis, but St. Louis.
Okay. Now, you're on the mm-hmm same time zone as us, though, right?
Absolutely. But I'm in Nashville now.
Oh, okay.
I came in early.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll make sure everything goes well.
I'm excited. We're all excited.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Lynx have been around for quite some time, and they have chapters all across the country, right?
Right. We've been around 73 years.
Oh.
We have more than 15,000 professional women, primarily of African descent. And we have 289 chapters across 42 states,
mm-hmm,
in D.C., the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and we have our newest chapter in the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the central area encompasses 15 states.
Uh-huh.
We have 70 chapters,
mm,
and we have 3,000-plus members.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's so important for you to do this with the feminine hygiene products, because that is, you know, for the young ladies, those are mandatory products. And you know, maybe they don't have the money, some of who you're targeting, you know.
And you know, to be honest, I was surprised when this project was brought to my attention, not for the middle school girls,
mm-hmm,
but for the young ladies at the universities,
mm-hmm,
because the Lynx have been involved in sending feminine hygiene products to our motherland for a number of years,
mm-hmm,
because we know there's actually African girls who have to stop school because they miss so many days.
Oh, wow.
And it didn't dawn on me, and I guess it should have, but it didn't, that that would be happening in our own
mm-hmm
country and our own communities.
Yeah.
So this was the brainchild of the four chapters in the Nashville cluster. Nashville chapter,
mm-hmm,
Music City, the Hendersonville area, and the Parthenon chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is, they were very, very committed to it and insistent, even when I was pushing back. And I said, you know, I better listen to this because obviously in this community, there are more of a serious need than I was aware of.
Oh, yeah,
now,
definitely.
This group reached out to their sister chapters in the central area and have received more than 10,000 feminine hygiene products.
Mm.
And we are also have a sponsorship by Dove,
mm-hmm,
who will be also contributing to our bags that we are going to hand out to these middle schools and the universities.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. So you got mm-hmm two universities that you're targeting as well as two metro public schools, right?
Correct.
That's
yes.
Beautiful.
Well,
I'm just so tickled to death that you all are making a difference in the community out there, Glenda.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That is what we are all about.
Yes.
The Lynx Incorporated, our two pillars are friendship and service. We perform service with our friends, and we have over a million hours, service hours,
uh-huh,
that we perform on a yearly basis. So it is really our pleasure and our passion.
Absolutely. Well, these conversations that you're going to be having and the discussions, are they open to the public?
It would depend on the exact event, and I'm quite sure the one on the 31st that will be held at Fisk will be open to the public.
Okay.
And we go make sure that you get some information so you can announce it to your listening audience.
Yeah, well, we're doing that right now.
The Sunday, I love it.
The Sunday, the Sunday morning folks, you know, they are percolating, some of them.
I know, yeah, I know.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, I have your press release, and the event is coming up this Wednesday at 9:30 in the John Hope and Aurelia Franklin Library. So you all, if you can come, do they need to call, or what if they don't want to donate some feminine products?
They can bring that to the library, and I'm quite sure we would be more than happy to to accept.
Okay.
We are going, hopefully we can have something that will be ongoing in the future.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know you're excited, you know, coming in and, in the city and having all the energy and the excitement of seeing your fellow sisters.
And coming back to my alma mater, of course, is exciting.
Oh,
absolutely.
Definitely.
Things have changed, but I have a lot of good memories.
Oh, that's beautiful. Do mm-hmm. you want to tell us what class you are, Glenda?
Do I have to?
No.
No, what's so funny is I decided that I'm adding 20 years to my age, and therefore, hopefully, people will say, "Oh, you look so good for your age." I graduated in the class of 73.
Okay, which was a good year.
Excellent year.
Yeah. Well, if you get an extra 10 minutes, come by and see us in Du Bois Hall.
I would love to.
Yeah, we'll be happy to have you stop by this historic radio station, because we were founded in 1973. And,
yes.
And we're still standing.
And I love that. That's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
A wonderful thing.
Absolutely. Student started, student led at the beginning. And, you know, the Lord has kept this place for 46 years. And I hope all alumni understand, you know, we working for Jesus, y'all, so.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this also highlights the importance of our historically black colleges and universities.
Yes, absolutely.
Because we are an intricate part of the community, and I think sometimes people forget that.
That's
but
right.
Yes, we are there.
Amen. Well, I thank mm-hmm. you for getting up, Glenda Massengale Manson. She is the Central
yes.
Area Director of the Lynx Incorporated, and as well as coming into Nashville for the big conference and the 45th conference at the you said Opryland, right?
Yes, Gaylord Opryland.
Okay.
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you so much, and we look forward to, if you get a chance, to coming by and seeing us, okay?
Absolutely, and thank you for having me
You're
on your
welcome.
Show this morning.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, thank you to Ms. Manson and the Lynx Incorporated, and good luck on that project. The students at Fisk and TSU and Graymar Middle School and McKissick Middle School will be getting a blessing from that. The packaging and distribution of feminine hygiene products for the college students and the middle school and high school students.
Yeah.
So that's a blessing for the community. Anyway, let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
It's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Hello, Nashville. Coming up Wednesday afternoon at 4. News from the community and after the traffic report. Best-selling author Celeste O. Norfleet discusses her historical fiction book set in the summer of 1968. And at 5 o'clock, Dr. Herman Williams shares his story of life, death, and back to life again. He's a healthcare executive and author. Your questions and comments are always welcome.
That's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay every Sunday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., and every Wednesday afternoons from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Already Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. Now, let's see, what do we have going on here? Let me make sure I include this. Story. This really just kind of broke my heart in a way, because I was like, this young man has been dead for 60-something years, and they still won't let him rest in peace. But a bullet-riddled memorial sign for Emmett Till at the center of a photo showing three white University of Mississippi students posing with guns is now gone. It has been vandalized multiple times over the years, and in a few months, the sign will be replaced again, this time with a bulletproof marker. I mean, just the thought of being so evil.
Yeah.
That's just evil.
It really is.
I mean, the man his family went through so much, and this country went through so much, and this evilness is just rampant. You know, we're talking about generations later.
Yeah.
And, you know,
somebody's still teaching it.
It's out of control. The sign was placed near the post where Till's body was pulled from the Tallahatchie River in 1955. And I mean, let the boy's spirit rest in peace. The 14-year-old African-American was tortured and killed by two white men after accusations that he flirted with a white woman. His death became an important catalyst in the civil rights movement. Patrick Weems, the executive director of the Emmett Till Memorial Commission, said the group began to mark every site that was part of Emmett's story after community leaders offered his family an apology for the first time 10 years ago. 10? Is this an asshole thing? I mean, 10 years. It took them 53 years to apologize.
That's ridiculous.
Okay. Help us, Father. Weems said for 50 years our community didn't want to talk about Emmett Till. They just wanted to forget it.
Pretend it never happened.
Oh, my God. And, you know, his family had a life of remembrance.
Yeah.
And the people who, you know, were involved in relatives and neighbors and the ones in, I mean, it's just horrid. The 50-pound purple marker was removed a few days ago when the commission learned that the Mississippi Center for Investigative Reporting and ProPublica were publishing a story along with a photo of the three University of Mississippi students. The students have been suspended by their fraternity, and the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division is also reportedly investigating. It's not the first time that the sign has been seen trouble. The first sign went up along the river in 2007, and it was stolen the following year. Lord, y'all, evil is just all up in you. It just totally is. No arrests were ever made. When the marker was replaced, it was riddled with bullet holes in 2018. Help us, Father, help us. A third sign was put up at the site, but only 35 days went by before it was shot up again. What is wrong with y'all? Literally, what? There's a sickness. There is a real sickness.
Somebody knows who's you know, doing
the, yeah,
this.
Yeah, the one that pulled the trigger, mm-hmm. Yeah. They know, the people in the community know, too. And God knows, too. The sign will be replaced in October with a nearly 600-pound sign made of reinforced steel. I wonder if they're going to use a bazooka to try to take that out, since you can have so many guns in this country. And that is according to Matt Dilling. He's the founder of Light Bright Neon Studio in Brooklyn, who has been working to create the sign. A 600-pound. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a lot of having to reinforce, okay?
Yep.
Because the sickness is that. And if it penetrates that, this country's done. I mean, seriously, it's done. Because that will have meant that
somebody really, really, really is full of it.
They're just ate up with hate. That's The commission is asking local authorities to launch an investigation into the student's photo. Members said they don't know whether the students damaged the sign. Now, 53 years ago, these students weren't even born. Their mamas and daddies were teenagers back then. So they had to get that from somebody.
Their parents?
Yeah, or their grandparents. Somebody had to pass that sickness on. Because, you know, you just,
And that means that they're going to pass it on.
Yeah. And it just perpetuates. Lord have mercy. I mean, just
But Mitch McConnell doesn't believe that we need reparations.
Well, he doesn't believe that there's even a
you
problem.
You see, yeah, there's
no
problem.
No, to him, everything is fine. Cool. And he needs to go back to his home state so he can really find out. But that one just made me sick because I'm like, you know what? Shooting, as long as he's been dead, you know, and still trying to, you know, signify. That's just evil.
Mm-hmm.
That is really, really evil. So I don't know. They'll probably use a tank to try to knock down a 600-pound. You know, I mean, that's beyond the pale. Lord, you know, we just need you, Father. This stuff is hard in this country. It is really hard. Mainstream, y'all don't know how easy you have it. You just don't know. You really don't know. Now, let's see what's going on with some health care. America's much maligned health care system is covering 9 out of 10 people. But that fact hasn't stopped the 2020 presidential candidates from refighting battles about how to provide coverage. 9 out of 10, that's not bad. Mm. I mean, that's almost 100%.
It is.
I mean, that's much better than it was before we had the Affordable Care Act. Well, I wonder why they're trying to dismantle again. 67 times. Wasn't it?
Because it was because it's Obamacare.
No, because it was helping people.
Yeah.
That's why. Because it actually helped somebody,
yep.
Not just big corporate. Now, from Bernie Sanders' calls for replacing private insurance with a government plan to President Donald Trump's pledge to erase the Affordable Care Act and start over, which is so stupid. And a waste of money.
I know.
That is just such a waste of money.
Why pitch that?
That is so crazy. I mean, you know, we got, what, we 7 years in now?
Yeah.
This just.
And it'll never happen because of the complex model to get the Affordable Care Act that's in place.
And the miracle from the Lord that it was in place. Because that wasn't nothing but a modern day miracle.
It's in the system. We just need the right representatives to go in and start fixing it.
Well, and people just need to quit trying to hurt it, you know, trying to shoot bullets at it.
I'll never forget about the guy who voted for Donald Trump, and they interviewed him on national TV, and the guy needs health care in order to survive. And the man says, well, don't you know that Trump ran on dismantling the Affordable Care Act? And the guy says, yeah, but I don't believe they really do it.
That's some more of that insane logic.
Yeah.
So you're going to just roll the dice on it.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Oh, my God.
They should go find that guy.
If he's able to talk, because his health is probably.
The guy says, but he's running on you. You need the Affordable Care Act so that you can live, because you've got this whatever was going on with them. But you voted for Donald Trump, and he ran on a platform of dismantling Obamacare.
And everything else that helps people.
And then the guy says, well, yeah, they're not really going to do that.
So therefore, I'm going to.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Help, Lord. I've been calling on you for an hour to help them, Jesus. Some of the candidates depict a system in a meltdown. The numbers tell a different story, not as dire. Government surveys show about 90% of the population has coverage. Praise the Lord. For the first time probably ever. And independent experts estimate that more than half of the roughly 30 million uninsured are eligible for health insurance through existing programs. Now, the bigger issue seems to be that many people with health insurance struggle to pay their deductibles and copays. About 44 million are deemed underinsured. And President Trump's administration is proposing to end an option that has allowed states to exceed federal eligibility threshold for food stamps. Oh, Lord, now you're going to take groceries? Help us, Lord. Please, Lord, I'm calling on you this morning, Lord. I mean, just take every. You have a loaf of bread? No. Give it to me. Dozens of states have gotten around federal income or asset limits for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, by using federal welfare grants to produce brochures informing food stamp applicants about other available social services. We talking about brochures, Lord.
Paying for those tax cuts.
Help us.
Paying for those tax cuts.
Tell the people about the resources.
Yes.
You know, is that not insane? It's rampant. It's rampant. It is. As long as the brochures were paid for with federal welfare money, states could bypass income and asset restrictions for food stamps. The tactic has been promoted by former President Barack Obama's administration as a way to allow low-income households to increase their savings and earnings before losing food stamps. But Trump's administration describes it as a loophole to federal law. Now, it's amazing he can see that tiny loophole, but he cannot see them big, giant loopholes that all his buddies at the crony level. I mean, isn't that interesting?
Oh, he see it.
You see the speck on us,
smash
but
and
you're
grab.
Not looking at the giant log on yourself. Well, Lord, I'm just, you know, y'all just pray today. You know, when you don't even have to be in the church. You can just do it now. Just do it right now. Oh, man. I'm about to break out in prayer myself. Oh, Lord. Okay, coming up, we're going to get a beautiful conversation, encouraging word about, she's going to give her testimony, her a miraculous coming back from cancer. Gospel and soul singer Candy Staton is going to be with us. And we're just looking forward to speaking with her preciousness on the broadcast this morning. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.